Hi, this is Dan Runcie, founder of Trapital, and you're listening to Your Morning Coffee, your place for weekly insights on the new music business with Jay Gilbert and Mike Etchart.
From Billboard, the IFPI Global Report 2024, music revenues climbed 10% to $28.6 billion.
Also from Billboard, why are IFPI and Midea's 2023 revenue figures so far apart? The answer lies in expanded rights.
And from Spotify, loud and clear, Spotify releases their annual music report, the top 10 findings. There's a lot of stuff here, Jay. We are excited to be here talking about them. We're excited you are here. So thanks for listening in advance, and let's press the button right about now.
Stand by for transmission.
This is London calling.
Wake up!
Your morning coffee is on the
air. Your morning coffee, the weekly music news for the new music business. It's the highly curated, agitated, advocated, moderated, and liberated digital music information that you need to know. We are your digital music authority. And now, from our studios in Hollywood, California, here's your hosts, Jay Gilbert and Mike Etchart.
Well, good morning on a Saturday when we typically record, Jay. It's good to see you. It's good a little bit rainy here in Southern California.
I love it.
We have been enjoying. It is now, we've been talking for an hour and 4 minutes before we've done a damn thing with the podcast.
It's the best part of my week, honestly, just talking about some of the emails that we get from people. I mean, well, we won't go into who sent them this week, but some people that we really admire and respect sent us some really nice emails this week. And it was just such a joy. And you got to celebrate life's little victories, right, Mike?
You do. It is gratifying. And, every week I look at the number, 189 episodes, regular episodes. We've also done some special things. So we're
close to 200. I'll check and we'll do a little, we'll have some cupcakes or something when we hit 200. One of the things you and I were talking about is this really great article that was in your morning coffee. It was written by Alex Marshall over at the New York Times. And the headline grabbed me. It said, "How do you become the UK's hottest new band? The old fashioned way." And they get into this band called The Last Dinner Party. And they've really quickly built a following by, you know, they're planning like old school things. Like we talked about these bands like David Bowie and Alice Cooper and all these bands, you know, Kiss, that were so theatrical. Well, The Last Dinner Party, you know, they're very theatrical. And something I thought was really interesting is they're ignoring the trend of viral fame.
Yeah, so the article says, at a time when rock bands often struggle for attention, The Last Dinner Party has broken through by taking a surprisingly traditional route, prioritizing touring rather than producing social media targeted hits. The all-female band has a striking visual aesthetic. At a recent London gig, dozens of younger audience members donned outfits including floral headdresses and corsets inspired by the band's theatrical imagery. We should mention it's an all-women band, and they look fantastic in addition to sounding fantastic.
Yeah, the founding member, Abigail Morris, said this about the approach, you know, with the band had gone from, you know, playing pubs and selling out 5,000 cap rooms like London theaters. And then she thought that this would help them sustain a career. She said, "There's no longevity in having a viral song blow up. That's not how you build a community." And, you know, The Last Dinner Party, their North American tour started last week, including sold out dates in the U.S., like at New York's Webster Hall on March 26th, and Brooklyn Steel the following day. And they're even playing Coachella. But you and I were kind of joking around talking about this book, because I have a little bit different views on social media than some people do. And there's a book by BJ Mendelsohn called Social Media is Bullshit. And I'll just read you one little passage from the book. He says that Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube are just platforms. They're not good or bad, useful or useless. However, we've allowed smug, greedy, well-fed white people to create a myth around them that says otherwise. A myth that says all you need to do is use social media for your business and all your dreams will come true. All the while, these companies and the marketers pushing the myth are lining their pockets. So I love the fact that The Last Dinner Party, they're not chasing TikTok. They're not chasing social media. They're really doing it, you know, one fan at a time by creating great music, great live show. Check them out on YouTube. I went to their website and was just looking at their merch. Every item except for one is sold out.
Wow. There you go. Building it from the ground up on the road. Gotta love that.
The other thing this week that you and I were talking about is our friend Keith Jopling has this amazing podcast called The Art of Longevity. He does the song Sommelier. If you don't know, season 9 has arrived. Check that out at songsommelier.com. Really, really great stuff. I think
yes, the last we know that's a lot of work.
Oh, yes,
that's
we do. And the newest one is Crowded House. But a couple of my favorite episodes, he did a really great one with Ron Sexsmith, was amazing, and one with Ben Folds. But this is his 9th season, so he's done tons of these, and they're
good for him.
Not only are the podcasts really great, world class, but he has an artist friend of his that's on his website. You'll see the gentleman. His name is slipping my mind, but he does these sketches and colors them in, these beautiful sketches of the artist. So each one sort of has its own album cover. Really great stuff.
And it's just the greatest name, the Song Sommelier. That right there, you had me at Song Sommelier, the name.
Yeah.
You know, it's wonderful, wonderful. And of course, your Black Keys Behind the Setlist podcast is live, and a lot of good work you did on that. And that was a fun one you did solo without Glenn. Glenn couldn't make it for that one. So good for you guys, because that's a good one.
Thank you. I really enjoyed talking with the Black Keys. There was a part in it where they talk about going to the UK and writing with Noel Gallagher from Oasis. And because of that, some UK outlets picked up on it and were promoting it. So getting a lot of feedback this week. And yeah, sadly, Glenn wasn't available. He had to do the UMG earnings calls. So he wasn't available to do the interview with me, but he did the intro with me. And it was a really fun one. So check out Behind the Setlist podcast, wherever your podcasts are sold. And a couple of other things really quickly that dropped in Your Morning Coffee, the newsletter, is at the bottom, you'll see a video, and it's called 2024 Music Streaming Workshop for Artists and Music Marketers. It's by our good friend Mike Warner, who wrote the book Work Hard, Playlist Hard. By the way, Mike is very experienced and looking for work if you need a smart guy. Anyway, that video, don't miss that. That was his presentation at South by Southwest. And also just really quickly, we dropped in Your Morning Coffee, we dropped the audio for my panel at South by Southwest, The Evolving Landscape of Record Labels for Artists. That's in there if you want to check that one out if you weren't able to attend.
Like me. So it's nice of you to put that up, Jay. We appreciate it.
And then something that wasn't in, or was it in Your Morning? No, I think it dropped after Your Morning Coffee was sent out. Remember you and I were talking about some predictions we made at the beginning of the year. And one of them was surrounding BandLab. And the last report I saw, BandLab was, I think, around 60 million users. It's a beast. And we've had CEO Meng Kwok on our show. We love BandLab and what he's building over there. They announced that they've passed 100 million active users, which is amazing. And you'll remember in my predictions, I said that I think that BandLab will have a number one hit in 2024, and they're not.
Which some people scoffed at.
Some people definitely scoffed at that. But guess what? their their artist, David, it's D4VD, David, I think that's how you pronounce it. His track, Romantic Homicide, just passed a billion streams. So even a broken clock is right twice a day. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think that was a bold, and I support it. I think you're right. And so, but you did get some pushback on that. So it's kind of gratifying to see that we're heading in that direction. For sure.
Exactly. And before we get into the stories, there were a couple of things that really jumped out at me this week. Music Business Worldwide has this feature called Stat of the Week. And, I don't know if Daniel writes all of them, but he wrote this one. Daniel Tenser from Music Business Worldwide wrote it. And the headline was, over half of the artists who generated at least $10,000 on Spotify last year are from countries where English is not the first language.
Yeah, so a new report from Spotify sheds light on just how quickly music culture is globalizing and shifting away from the English language content that has dominated the music scene for generations. According to the latest edition of Spotify's annual Loud and Clear Music Economics Report, over half of the artists who generated more than $10,000 on the music streaming platform in 2023 were from countries where English is not the first language.
Wow, some 66,000 artists generated at least $10,000 on Spotify in 2023. That's nearly triple the number of artists who generated that much in 2017. According to the report, which we'll get into in a minute, it estimates that this means they generated some $40,000 across all recorded music revenue sources.
Right. So the article says artists who in the past might have struggled to break through are now finding their audiences, and the music industry today is a more diverse and accurate reflection of the world we live in, which Spotify stated in the report. Spanish, German, Portuguese, French, and Korean lead the pack for performance in languages other than English, while Hindi, Indonesian, Punjabi, Tamil, and Greek all saw huge upticks in 2023.
Wow, we so keep talking like, about it's a global world,
global
right?
Business.
Yeah.
Well, and you and I have talked a lot about too. It's like at a time when we were growing up, you had a finite amount of money. You couldn't really be that adventurous in listening. You know, you had the money you had, and you had to kind of choose what two albums you could buy. Now with streaming, you can be adventurous and you know, root around and find stuff, and it's an exciting time to be a music fan with all this. You just have everything at your footsteps.
Yeah, it's
at your feet, not footsteps.
Well, absolutely right. I mean, you've got it at your fingertips, or however you want to put it.
That's the word I was thinking.
It's all right there. We've gone from, you know, ownership to access in many ways. And that's one of those benefits is that. And they referenced that Spotify Loud and Clear report. I did not put that in your morning coffee this week. I meant to, but I didn't. But we will cover that today. You and I also talk a lot, almost every week, about music rights management, monetization, royalty collection, you know, publishing, metadata, all that stuff, because it's so key today when the main source of revenue are what you and I lovingly refer to as the river of nickels, right? So you have to be very careful about monetizing things because there's not a lot of money in streaming for developing and middle-class artists. So this week, I sat down with Jamie D. Hart from Hart and Songs. It's an artists and rights management firm based here in LA. And Jamie is really this, you know, music rights management advocate. And she's really passionate about giving back to the industry by educating people, you know, creators at every level, and all these things we talk about, royalty collection, publishing, metadata. And I really enjoyed our conversation, and I can't wait for our next one. Let's listen in to my conversation with Jamie D. Hart. Jamie D. Hart, so good to see you. Thanks for joining me today.
Good morning. Good to be here.
So one of your passions is educating indie artists. The music business can be super complex and confusing when you're first starting out. What are some areas that you find artists and managers really need to be on top of today?
Yeah, so I've had almost about a decade of working with independent artists through many different jobs and roles, and still super passionate about it. One of the biggest points of confusion and misunderstanding is rights and royalty management, particularly because it's not the most sexy part of the industry. It's complicated. There are so many avenues and different organizations you have to be signed up for to collect these different types of royalties. And there's not really a clear blueprint online. I admire a lot of the people right now who are making blogs and like podcasts where like they're really doing the work to try and make this stuff more understandable. But like, there's so much more work to be done in this landscape of just understanding what you are owed and then going out and finding the money. It's very different than other industries where like, if you're a nurse, you show up to work, you get paid for your job. You don't have to go chase down your paycheck. You don't have to go chase down what is owed to you because you showed up and did your job. I always love using comparisons like that because when you think about it like that, it's actually pretty wild.
Yeah. What are some areas where some artists may not be aware of where there's money there to be collected?
Yeah. One part of it that people sometimes shy away from is YouTube content ID and collection on YouTube. If you go on the Reddit threads, there's so many opinions from all the different artists and the managers. Let's say a distributor is collecting their content ID and then they get a claim on their own YouTube channel and they're like, what's going on? This is my music. So it's really that part of it is understanding the landscape of someone needs to go out there and collect it for you because you cannot have a direct line with YouTube. So whether that be a distributor or a company that specializes in YouTube content ID, it's important to be collecting for those rights so no one else is, blatantly using your music in their YouTube videos and monetizing it, making remix edit cuts. And then, that song blows up, but it's using a piece of your original copyright. Those are just some examples that I've seen in the past.
Talk a little bit about metadata. Why is metadata so important? And what is metadata for those who don't know?
Yeah, so similar to how us as humans, whether we're in the US or other countries, we have maybe like a driver's license number, we have a social security number, things that identify us and kind of lock us to our identification for the rest of our life. Similar to that, metadata is different identifiers that are attached to a song, a copyright, et cetera, that really help you ensure that you can collect the money for the song. Because, a song can be distributed to 65 online stores. The only real way to make sure that you're tracking and getting all that money is for the distributor to issue you an ISRC and a UPC, the release information, if it's through a record label. Metadata is quite literally any information tied to a song, a copyright, a collection of works, especially when it comes down to the intricacies of maybe your song got synced in a Netflix show. That information of like who wrote on that song needs to be given to the production company, and then you get a cue sheet and uploaded that into your PRO. There's just so much data out there that is important to be had. And that's why I'm always encouraging people just create a generalized template. I have one that I give to all of my clients just to make it a little bit more digestible because this can get very confusing very fast. And you're like, I don't know what these things are. But if you have a template and you record, write a song, and you just enter the information as it is submitted to the distributor or the label, it feels a little bit easier to approach rather than, scrambling when you need to get this information.
Yeah. So where can people learn more about you and your company, Heart and Songs?
Yeah. So I'm very active on social media. All of my socials are just Jamie D. Hart, my full name. I'm active on LinkedIn. I'm currently working on some resources for the community, regarding all of this kind of education and stuff. We're thinking of some ideas of doing some summits. I've created a Beyond the Classroom guide on my website that kind of gives resources of all of these incredible organizations. So whether you're a college student interested in music industry, you're studying music, you just graduated and you need to find an internship, you want to find a mentor, I'm creating content like this. And although I am not a graphic designer, we're making it work. And I'm slowly building, you know, villagers to my team to come help me build helpful information and get it out there.
Awesome. Thanks for coming by. I can't wait for our next conversation.
Yes. Good morning. Have a good coffee.
All right.
The River of Nickels, indeed. Fascinating stuff.
Yeah. She's awesome. We'll definitely be talking to her again.
Well, Jay, before we jump into our stories, let's reach out and thank the folks that brought us to the party. Indeed, our sponsors with which whom we could not do the show, and we are greatly appreciative, including our friends over at Bandzoogle. For over 20 years, Bandzoogle has made it easy to build a stunning website and an online store for your music. Now they've added a brand new EPK plan so that musicians can create a professional single-page electronic press kit in minutes. All the features you need to design an EPK are already built in, including fully customizable templates, preset EPK page layouts, music players, images, text bio and video embeds, a gig calendar and press quotes, and access to Bandzoogle's award-winning support team 7 days a week. The new EPK plan starts at just $6.95 per month, and your Morning Coffee podcast listeners can go to Bandzoogle.com to try it free for 30 days, then use promo code MorningCoffeeEPK, all one word, to get 10% off the first year of the new EPK plan subscription. That's Bandzoogle.com, promo code MorningCoffeeEPK when you sign up to the EPK plan.
Yeah, and a big shout out to our friends over at Hypebot. Since 2004, Hypebot has chronicled the new music industry and the trends and technologies that are changing how music is discovered, consumed, marketed, and monetized. Edited daily by founder Bruce Houghton with help from Alana Bonilla, Hypebot and sister blog Music Think Tank are published by live music discovery and marketing platform Bands in Town.
Indeed, Bands in Town, over 80 million live music fans trust Bands in Town to get personalized concert alerts, recommendations, and messages from their favorite artists. It's the number one artist service platform connecting over 590,000 artists with their super fans. Managers, labels, agencies, and artists access their own dashboard to manage and promote their tour dates across all platforms.
Yeah, and the Music Business Association, their conference, the Music Biz Conference, it creates rooms in which important conversations that shape the future of this industry take place. They represent more than 90% of the music industry at large. The Music Business Association serves as the connective tissue for the global music business and provides a trusted forum where ideas and collaboration can flourish. Join us for the Music Biz 2024 conference. It's coming up May 13th through the 16th in Nashville. I'll be moderating a panel with some very smart people. Come over and say hi.
Indeed. Big thanks to Bandzoogle, Hypebot, Bands in Town, and the Music Business Association. And the man I get to spend a good part of my Saturday, my favorite day of the week, with is Jay Gilbert, my good friend. He is a music industry consultant, a curator of the weekly Your Morning Coffee newsletter, and a former executive with Universal Music, Sony Music, and Warner Music Groups. And somebody I've known you for 25 years.
Yeah, we go back. I remember...
I'm only 29, which is weird.
It's crazy because we really bonded initially over music, and we just decided one day that we were just going to record our conversations because we were having them all the time anyway. So this is my good friend, Mike Etchart, longtime host of Sound and Vision Radio, formerly of SST Records, Warner Music Group, Capitol, and EMI, and Universal Music Group.
Yep, where we met and hung out and talked about all kinds of fun stuff.
Yep.
So what do you say we jump into the stories, Jay? Story number one from Billboard, the IFPI Global Report 2024 music revenues climb 10% to $28.6 billion. That's a big number, Jay.
That is
a big number.
It is a big number, and we'll get into this in a second, but everything saw increases with the exception of digital downloads across the board. And if you look at that pie chart, they have a really cool pie chart in this article, and you can see just how much, I mean, streaming, this is globally, it's much more in the US. We'll cover the RIAA report when that comes out, but total streaming globally is 67.3%. And they even break that down to show that ad-supported streams are really 18.5% of that, and subscription-based is almost 49%, which is encouraging to see that trend. But if you look at some of these other things, you know, physical is still almost 18% globally.
I was looking at that.
And that's a big deal.
Remarkable.
And if you look at the countries that drive that, the number one country is Japan. Right. There's still 90 Tower Record Store locations in Japan. They do more physical than even the U.S. But it's super interesting looking at this pie chart and just kind of getting a sense of where everything is.
Yeah. So the total figure is the highest mark since 1999, not counting for inflation, while the number of paid streaming subscriptions passed 500 million.
Wow.
For the first time, global music sales grew for the ninth consecutive year in 2023, with recorded music revenues increasing in every market and region and across almost all formats, according to the International Federation of the Phonographic Industries Global Music Report. That's what IFPI is an acronym for.
Yeah. And total revenues climbed to $28.6 billion, a rise of just over 10% from the previous year. And that's the second highest growth rate on record after 2021's 18.5% year-on-year spike. So 2023's total sales figure is the highest level since 1999, when the IFPI first started compiling global music revenues, and sales totaled about $22.2 billion. On an absolute dollar basis, not accounting for inflation. Piracy and declining physical sales saw the market bottom out to $13 billion in 2014. Remember that?
That's right. So driving last year's growth was an 11.2% rise in paid streaming subscription revenue, which totaled $14 billion, up from $12.7 billion back in 2022, and accounted for almost half, just a little under half, of global music sales. The rise in global paid streaming revenue comes after many of the leading streaming services, including Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, YouTube Music, and Deezer, all raised their subscription prices in key territories over the past 12 to 18 months. For the majority of streaming services, the hikes were the first price rises in since launching more than a decade ago.
Right. And that had to happen. And we're great. You know, we're happy seeing that trend. Despite the rising cost for consumers, the number of music streaming subscribers continues to grow globally. The IFPI is reporting that the number of paid subscriptions to streaming services surpassed 500 million for the first time in 2023, which you just mentioned. And also, when shared usership and family accounts are considered, there are now more than 667 million users of paid subscription accounts globally. And that's, you know, according to the IFPI, up 13% from the 589 million recorded in the previous year.
So total streaming revenues, comprising of paid subscription and advertising-supported tiers, rose 10% to $19.3 billion to make up 67% of worldwide recorded music sales, roughly flat with last year's share of the market. Nevertheless, streaming's year-on-year growth continues to slow as a result of its already high penetration of the global music market. In 2021, total streaming revenues spiked 24% year-on-year. In 2022, the rate of growth had more than halved that to 11.5%.
Right, but the good news is that the sales, like we mentioned, they're up across nearly all formats. That's huge. Although streaming continues to dominate global music revenues, of course, 2023 also saw strong gains in physical record sales and performance rights revenues. Combined CD and vinyl revenues grew for a third consecutive year to over $5 billion, up 13% on 2022's total, with Asia generating almost half of all physical revenues worldwide.
Wow, that's pretty stunning. The IFPI attributed the region's continued dominance in the physical market to strong sales of K-pop acts such as boy band Seventeen, who topped IFPI's 2023 global album charts with FML and also had the year's eighth best-selling album with follow-up set 17th Heaven.
Yeah, in terms of market share, though, physical accounted for just under 18% of the overall market last year, just a little bit up from the 17.5% in the previous year, but still down on 2021 share. So performance rights revenue That climbed 9.5% to $2.7 billion, and that represents 9.5% of global revenues, while sync licensing income was up nearly 5% to $632 million, and that's about 2.2% of the market.
So looking at this, the only formats to record a decline in 2023 were digital downloads and what IFPI classifies as other non-streaming digital formats, which fell by 2.6% to 900 million, representing just 3.2% of the global market. According to IFPI figures, record companies invest $7.1 billion each year globally in A&R and marketing alone. They also are paying out more money than ever before to artists, said IFPI, with label payments to musicians increasing by 96% between 2016 and 2021. Versus a 63% rise in record company revenues.
Wow, that's huge. So let's talk about the last thing in this report that I want to make sure we cover, and that's this world of artificial intelligence or AI. Mm-hmm. So reflecting, you know, current industry trends, the potential impact of AI on the record business and particularly risks around generative AI was a key topic of conversation among this report. So the reality is that we're at the beginning stages of another transformational event for the music industry, said Dennis Cooker. He's the president of Global Digital Music at Sony Music Entertainment.
Right. He goes on to say, while I'm enthusiastic about where the evolution will lead, it is essential that we find new products and new business models around these technologies to ensure the future of human creativity can be invested in and that creators can be rewarded.
He also said, we must also fight the position that too many companies want to take to ignore copyright and intellectual property rights and use our content without permission or without proper compensation. Adam Granite, Executive VP of Market Development at Universal Music Group, said that while AI used in the service of artists is wonderful, AI that uses musicians' work without authorization and compensation is not.
He went on to say, we believe it's perfectly possible to develop and adopt AI technology while also ensuring artists' rights are protected. He was citing UMG's recent partnership with Roland Corporation and YouTube on AI initiatives as industry-led developments that give artists a seat at the table and will help safeguard their rights as more AI products enter the music business.
So yeah.
Certainly be talking about that a lot.
Yeah, and we always look forward, you and I mean, this is report season, and we love reading, you know, the three top ones that are our favorites, and there's lots of great reports. IFPI for worldwide, the RIAA for US, and then also MIDIA's reports are absolutely amazing. But one of the things you and I were sort of scratching our head about was we noticed that the IFPI report was different than MIDIA's revenue figures, and we're like, this doesn't make sense. Like, why are these different? And then, of course, you know, we read Glenn Peoples from Billboard, his weekly newsletter called The Ledger, and he explains it. And the headline was, why are IFPI and MIDIA's 2023 revenue figures so far apart? The answer lies in expanded rights. A traditional measure of record labels, covers sales, streaming, sync, and performance, but today's labels do far more. The IFPI's annual figure for global recorded music revenue, which was announced this last week, he says that's the gold standard for tracking the health of the music business. It's the number most often cited by, you know, corporate reports, market research, and media articles. It's also a bit outdated.
Right. So he says, traditionally, record labels have sold and streamed music, secured sync licenses, and collected performance and neighboring rights royalties. But a modern record label also collects expanded rights revenues from multi-right, 360-degree recording contracts by taking a share of artists' income from merchandise, touring, and branding, among other sources. Those expanded right revenues aren't part of the IFPI's annual revenue tally, but MIDIA Research included that and more in its annual estimate.
Yeah, that's great. MIDIA's more fulsome figure for global recorded music revenue in 2023 was $35.1 billion, nearly 23% higher than the IFPI's figure. According to Mydia, which tells Billboard its estimate came from publicly available information and interviews, expanded rights revenue that you just mentioned totaled $3.5 billion in 2023.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Expanded rights revenue is in plain sight, he says. Universal Music Group, for example, took in 706 million euros, or about $764 million of merchandising revenue from Bravado, its wholly owned merchandise company, in 2023. For other companies, expanded rights are harder to pin down. Warner Music Group had $744 million of artist services and expanded rights revenue in 2023. WMG's expanded rights included merchandising, VIP ticketing, fan clubs, concert promotion, and management, according to its latest quarterly report.
Yeah, very interesting. Neither global revenue figure is right or wrong. They're just different. The IFPI's revenue figures, they reflect how labels monetize the rights associated with master recordings through sales, streaming, and licensing. Mydia's revenue figures acknowledges the role of the record labels as expanded far beyond monetization of masters.
Right. Glenn says even the term expanded rights is problematic because it suggests merchandise and branding isn't central to a record label's mission. That isn't necessarily the case in 2024. Consider the wave of K-pop companies expanding globally out of South Korea. HYBE, home of the boy band BTS, is a hybrid record label, talent agency, and management company with a slow, painstaking artist development process and a business model that captures far more than recorded music sales. In 2023, 55% of HYBE's revenue came from sources other than recorded music. Concerts accounted for roughly 16% of revenue, merchandise and licensing were 15%, and ads and appearances were 7%. In fact, Mydia estimated that Korean labels, including SM Entertainment, YG Entertainment, JYP Entertainment, and Starship Entertainment, accounted for nearly 70% of non-major label expanded rights revenue.
Wow. Another difference between the IFPI and Mydia reports is the latter's emphasis on the fast-growing independent artist community. Easy access to recording tools and distribution has gotten the everyday artist recordings on digital platforms around the world. Mydia estimates that $1.8 billion in quote-unquote artist direct revenue in 2023. Artist direct is a category of self-publishing, independent artists who use self-serve platforms like DistroKid and TuneCore. You know, and Mydia's 2023 creator survey estimated that 6.4 million artists are in this segment. While 38% of the independent artists aspire to be full-time musicians, 36% do not expect to focus on music as a sole career. Deducting expanding rights and artist direct revenues from Mydia's $35.1 billion estimate narrows the difference between that and the IFPI's $28.6 million figure.
Right. So another difference between the two reports stems from Mydia's inclusion of revenue from production libraries in its sync revenue figure. Production music, which spans everything from beat marketplace BeatStars to online library Epidemic Sound, often exists outside of the record label system that traditionally develops and markets artists. Unlike artist-oriented music, production music is often nameless and faceless content that advertisers and other content creators license for its specific sound and style rather than artist name recognition. Lacking star power is not the point, however. Production music libraries are increasingly popular amongst content creators in need of affordable background music.
Okay, so broader measurements will be crucial to tracking the recorded music business in the future. Record labels will pursue super fans through products and services that may not produce typical sales and streams. Artificial intelligence, you know, that's going to create new licensing opportunities. Greater adoption of the K-pop model will change what it means to be a record label. And when that happens broadly, $28.6 billion of annual revenue will just be the starting point. Judging by Mydia's 2023 report, it already is. Great piece, Glenn Peoples.
Yeah, it's
kudos.
Really interesting.
I was wondering, we were talking about that. Like, why are these two things different? And they're not, like he says, it's not like one's better than the other, or one's bad and one's good. They're just different ways of looking at the business.
Yeah, absolutely. But great stuff. And of course, it's Glenn's expertise is always appreciated in breaking down all of this stuff because it can get a little confusing at times.
Yeah.
Jay.
Yeah.
Let's do our last story. It's from Spotify. Loud and clear. Spotify releases their annual music report, the top 10 findings. Artists deserve clarity about the economics of music streaming, and this report aims to increase transparency by sharing new data on Spotify's royalty payments and breaking down the global streaming economy, the players, and the processes. Indeed,
yeah.
It's an important thing to kind of keep up with.
Yeah, and if you haven't already, Google Loud and Clear, Spotify, go to their website. It's so beautifully done with all these great charts and graphs and the way it flows. So let's look at sort of the top 10 takeaways, okay? Number one, Spotify's record payouts. For another year, Spotify set the record for the highest annual payout in the music industry from any single retailer, $9 billion plus. That figure has nearly tripled over the past 6 years and represents a big part of the 48 point whatever billion Spotify has paid since it was founded.
Right. So number two is more money at every level. Spotify royalties are powering artists' careers at all stages. In fact, the number of artists generating revenue at every threshold shared on this site, their site, by the way, from $1,000 through $10 million per year, it's nearly tripled since 2017.
Right.
So that's certainly good news.
Yeah. And these figures represent revenue generated from Spotify alone. That's it. When taking into account earnings from other DSPs, you know, other recorded revenue streams, these are artists likely generated four times the amount we're talking about here from all these other sources.
Right. So number three is breaking the language barrier. The fact that streaming lowered barriers to entry is obviously old news, but the impact on artists' livelihoods and the global diversity of that impact is becoming more clear. As they mentioned in the Music Business Worldwide stat of the week, of the 66,000 artists who generated at least $10,000 on Spotify alone, and likely $40,000 across all recorded revenue sources, more than half are from countries where English is not the first language.
That's
it's
right.
It's just remarkable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And number four, a record year for indies. And this made my ears perk up. I love this. In 2023, indies generated $4.5 billion on Spotify. This marks the first time that indies accounted for about half of what the entire industry generated on Spotify, which totaled $9 billion. So for the first time ever, the catalogs of DIY artists and artists signed to independent record labels represented about half of all revenues generated on Spotify for the year.
Yeah. Number five is the unexpected millionaires, which I'm not, unfortunately. In the streaming era, the charts aren't big enough to contain all of the artists finding success. Fans' tastes and are more diverse, and the royalty pool is increasingly massive, which means more revenue to a wider range of artists.
Yeah, many of those artists who generated at least $1 million on Spotify last year, they're not household names, and they didn't need a quote-unquote hit to have a big year. And I think that's remarkable. 80% of them, they didn't have a song reach the top 50 of Spotify's daily global songs chart.
Yeah. Number six is music publishing hits a new peak. Songwriters, through their publishing rights holders, are generating record-breaking revenues driven by streaming services. Over the past 2 years, Spotify has paid out nearly $4 billion to publishers, performance rights organizations, and collecting societies that represent the songwriters.
Right. And number seven is, let's put those numbers in context. More artists are succeeding. And as a result, even more are interested in becoming artists. Sure, more than 10 million uploaders have at least a single track on Spotify. But when it comes to building financial opportunities, Spotify says that they're focused on those most dependent on streaming as part of their livelihood, those 225,000 emerging and professional artists that are really trying to build careers.
Right. So number eight on the list, artist career growth. Careers don't just start on Spotify. They grow on Spotify, they say. We're focused on helping emerging and professional artists make a sustained living off their work year after year. Four out of five artists who generated at least $10,000 or more in 2017 generated at least that much this past year. Of the 23,400 artists who generated $10,000 in 2017, nearly half generated more than $150,000 in 2023 and likely $200,000 overall across all recorded revenue sources.
Right. And that bears sort of repeating that we're looking at Spotify numbers, but there's also, you know, Apple Music, there's Amazon Music and Deezer and SoundCloud and all sorts of great platforms out there. This is just one of the larger ones. Number nine, the streaming opportunity. The overwhelming majority of artists on Spotify wouldn't have had music on the shelf in the CD era. Think about that for a second. So if you were to list out the artists on Spotify in order of how much money they generated, even the 50,000th in rank generated at minimum $16,500 from Spotify alone. And when you take into account the other streaming services and recorded music revenue sources we talked about, it's more likely closer to $65,000 than $16,000.
That's really interesting. The number 10, the last one, the growing number of streams with over 600 million listeners across 184 markets. What might have been a lot of streams even 6 years ago looks pretty different today. In the early days of streaming, a million streams of a song could take time to reach, but in today's landscape, over 329,000 songs were streamed over a million times in 2023 alone.
Yeah, so, it's changing dramatically. I mean, one of the Yeah, one of the most frequently asked questions is, you know, how do my streams rank in terms of popularity? And they have a really great table here, a really great chart that shows the number of annual streams that you need to rank in the top 250,000. On Spotify, the top 100,000 and the top 10,000, and they compare 2017 with 2023, and it's remarkable, the change. So again, I recommend that you go look at this because it's so visually appealing, and you can sort of mm-hmm. wrap your head around some of these numbers that we're spouting out today. It's such a great report, and I'm sorry I didn't include it in your morning coffee. I should have, but Loud and Clear. Google that with Spotify, you'll see their amazing presentation. But lots of good news there. I know that Spotify takes a lot of heat for being sort of, you know, one of the larger DSPs and with payouts and things like that. But we're not haters. It's one, you know, we're not going to go back to the horse and buggy days. It's the reality. Music streaming, mm-hmm. you know, a stream isn't worth a download. A download isn't worth a CD. A CD isn't worth premium vinyl, et cetera. I think you need to, you know, embrace it and go to where the party is.
Yes, absolutely. Well, and again, we tip our hats because when you work on presentations and all these things, it's a lot of work. It's a ton of work. And Spotify puts a lot of work into these reports. And just like you said, the visual aspects of it alone are certainly worth looking at. So yeah. We tip our hats to them.
Kudos.
And appreciate. Yeah, absolutely. It's fascinating to see the changes just over the last few years. And like you said, this is the business these days. And so it's important to get a visual view of it. And of course, they want to highlight the positives, and that's wonderful. We do need to do that from time to time as well. So on that note, we're going to wrap up the show. If you enjoy the show, we would certainly appreciate if you just tell one friend, and we appreciate all those that listen in, because Jay and I do not take that for granted. So big thanks to Bandzoogle, Hypebot, Bands in Town, and the Music Business Association. And on behalf of my good friend, the 13th hardest working man in show business, Jay Gilbert, I say, and we say, thanks for listening in. We'll be back next week on the Your Morning Coffee Podcast.
You've been listening to Your Morning Coffee, the weekly music news program for the new music business. Join Jay Gilbert and Mike Etchart next time for the digital music news you need to know.